Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the extraordinary navigation abilities of sea turtles, but first, the fish that never forget. I'm joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society of Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you know, the reason we keep goldfish in little bowls is we believe that as they round the forever bend, they've forgotten where they were seconds ago, and therefore it's okay to keep them in that kind of confined space.
Yes, and I mean, that may be one of the reasons we keep them, but we don't tend to think of fish as having deep thoughts and long memories. But new research that was published in the journal Biology Letters this week tells us that's probably, I mean, we've known this for a while actually about captive fish, but what we didn't really know is how these skills were deployed in the wild. And a number of researchers from this German institute set out to discover that in the wild. So they got into their diving gear, got into the water, one of the researchers, and she would swim along about 50 metres. And then when she got to the end of the 50 metres, she would feed some of the wild fish that would follow her. And she would do this repeatedly, wearing a bright red vest over her dive gear. And the fish gradually got to recognise her when she got into the water. And even after days, they would follow her, knowing they would get fed at the end of her little swim. So after 12 days, she had 20 fish that followed her regularly. Now, they decided to put the fish to a bit more of a test, and her colleague got into the water with her, wearing different dive gear. And the two of them went off in different directions. And on the first day, the fish divided up and they followed both of them. But at the second day, they only got fed by the first researcher, yeah. Katinka, who'd got into the water, Katinka Soller. And at the end of the second day, they only followed her, realizing they were not going to get fed by her colleague. So not only could they recognize an individual, probably based on the colors of their diving gear and the sort of external visual cues, but they would remember. And they remembered this for many, many days. Now, interestingly, when they took away the visual cues and the two of them went the red vest or the bright colours on their fins, the fish couldn't tell them apart. But that's not that surprising. I don't think you or I could probably tell two divers apart if they were dressed in identical gear with face masks and everything on. But really, what this tells us is that fish in the wild use visual clues. They can identify visual cues and they can remember them for days and days. And particularly when getting a snack at the end of it is the reward.
Now, what do we know then about the goldfish?
Well, the goldfish, I mean, that myth really has been debunked for many decades. So just to give goldfish their dues here today, I mean, goldfish can also associate cues with rewards. So they can be trained to stay on a specific side of a tank. And in fact, many people who own fish, while they might be telling themselves the fish aren't bored, they do think their fish will recognise them when they walk into the room. And we also know that goldfish can be taught to push a lever to get food, and they will remember how to do that for many, many days. They can also learn other tasks like going through mazes, and they can remember how to do that for several days. So really this idea.
But do we know whether they're happy or not in their little enclave?
Well, I mean, I suppose we don't really know about happiness in other species. We can infer it. But certainly, you know, any wild creature that we tend to study more. I mean, it's the idea of bird brains. And we've talked about this before, the incredible abilities of many birds and crows. The reality is there's deep intelligence of perhaps a different kind in most living creatures that have evolved.
The idea that some birds can recognise someone who's done them a bad turn and poo on them.
Well, exactly. Or that can remember people and tasks for many decades. I mean, one thing we do know is that goldfish will react positively usually to the return of a tank mate that's been taken away. So perhaps having company is something we can do to make the life of a goldfish a little bit more interesting.
I always think the rectangular boxes that have loads of fish in them and loads of little castles and all that must be a little more interesting because everything's changing constantly.
Well, exactly. And actually, you know, fish do need oxygen. So they need dissolved oxygen from the water. So that very traditional goldfish bowl where the surface area of water at the top is quite narrow can actually be quite dangerous for goldfish. So if you go into a proper aquarium, they'll always advise you to have
the bubbles on the side of it.
You need the bubbles, or you need a lot of surface area of air so that you can actually get enough dissolved oxygen for the fish to be healthy.
Now, another astonishing creature, the superpowers in navigation of baby turtles. Explain.
And baby turtles are incredible. So we know their eggs hatch on the beach and they're left all alone, and they manage to hatch out of their egg, get down to the water, and then undertake these huge journeys across the world's oceans, and often come back to exactly the same beach where they themselves were born. It's absolutely absolutely extraordinary. And scientists have known for many years that they're probably using light and the Earth's magnetic field
but
to
it's
do
also
this.
In their DNA to know what to do, isn't it?
Well, it's
an
instinct.
You know, to head for the water,
yes,
first of
exactly.
All.
Well, it's instinct. And I mean, it is using things probably like magnetic particles in some of their cells and the impact of the Earth's magnetic field on even down to how the electrons spin in the atoms of some of the chemicals in their body. So it's absolutely fascinating. But in new research published in Nature, scientists have exploited something really quite interesting to understand this better. And this is something, it's actually quite adorable if you go and look at videos of it. When sea turtles know they're about to be fed, particularly baby ones, they do a little dance. So they stick their head above the water, they flap their fins and they spin around in circles. It's really very sweet.
Delighted with themselves.
And when researchers saw this, they wondered, could they then use this behaviour to identify how the turtles were interacting with the magnetic field? So what they did was they created different conditions in the lab. So researchers can make a magnetic field in the lab and they can match that to a specific location on Earth, because every location on Earth has a different magnetic field. So what they did was they created two different magnetic fields. One was the Gulf of Mexico, and when they put that field on, they fed the turtles. So the turtles danced whenever they got the Gulf of Mexico signature magnetic field because they knew they were about to be fed. When they got the New Hampshire magnetic field, they didn't feed them. And the turtles learned not to dance when they got the magnetic field. So they did this for 2 months with these baby loggerhead turtles. And then, of course, what they realized is even when they weren't being fed, when they got put back in the magnetic field for the Gulf of Mexico, they danced because they were anticipating being fed. So we could actually see that they can pick up the differences in these locational fields. And they taught them locational fields for other places around the globe. And they could remember these for many, many months. So
if they got, for example, one kind of food in Cuba and another kind of food in New Hampshire, they would still know.
But the point about it is...
Or no food in another one.
Yes, and the point about it is they are putting together in their minds a map of the Earth based on magnetic signature. And they can remember these magnetic signatures for many, many years. So really, what we're seeing is that they have different kinds of senses. They sort of have an internal compass with this magnetism and using the spin of the electrons in their body so they know which direction they're going. But beyond that, they are mapping the Earth's magnetic field as they travel so that they can come back to where they were before.
Can it be disrupted by something?
So certainly the field that acts as a compass, the one which is much more sensitive, which kind of uses the spin of the electrons in their atoms, it looks like it can be disrupted by things like radio waves. So they did expose these to things like radio transmitters and phones, and they found that some of that sensitive compass direction was disrupted. But the big magnetic field mapping, where they kind of map the whole Earth, seems to be robust enough to even withstand that.
So even if they pass a sub, be it a Russian or an American sub, which might be emitting all sorts of signals, they can still manage to find their way.
And of course, what's really fascinating about this is this may be the same mechanism that other migratory creatures are using, and we might actually be starting to get to the heart of how these incredible migratory journeys happen across the Earth.
Absolutely fascinating. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.